Shmuel Rav Isai. Thank you very much, Rabbi Arlovsky, for your introduction. And I thank you all for coming, that we can share this very beautiful and meaningful evening together. Last Shabbos, I had the pleasure and the schus of being in Prešvor, Bratislava, the capital of Slovakia, together with the Sver Rebbe Shiva. He goes there in the summer for 2 weeks for his health. And many of his admirers and followers come to spend the Shabbos with him. He's there. And I spent the Shabbos in the city of Sam Sefer. We davened there on Erev Shabbos, the Hillel for half an hour, spent a beautiful Shabbos together. But the highlight of my entire weekend was actually what should have been a footnote on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, everyone left very quickly. I decided I'm taking my time. I'll take a later flight back there to show. And I dodged with the last minion, which was actually the Rebbe's minion at about 8:30. The Rebbe had been up the entire night. He was up the whole Shabbos. And he was fresh as a daisy. Fresh as a daisy, plan alert. And we're waiting to daven. And suddenly, a young boy and his family come in from Vienna. Vienna is very close to Prešvor, about 45 minutes away. And this youngster is coming to have a tefillin legging. The Rebbe shook the tefillin on him for the first time, which is the custom. And here's a young boy, I think the Rebbe ever saw before in his life, not as very accustomed. The boy from Vienna. And before davening, everything stops. Everyone comes into the Rebbe's private room. And we're just watching how the Rebbe is putting film on this youngster. So here's the Rebbe who has a following of thousands, tens of thousands of people in the world. Shabbos, he's very high places. And now this great Rebbe is bending over this little boy we never saw before. And in the most meticulous and precise fashion, he is binding the tefillin onto his arm in his own special minute to have it square. And the Rebbe is so careful that every single tricha, every twist and turn should be exactly in space properly. And it was just watching him being so makbid. Then he puts the tefillin to Reish on the youngster. Then he goes back to the tefillin sheyad, and he got young wine, he wasn't happy, he wasn't done yet exactly according to the perfect standards he wanted. So he unwinds it till it wasn't about the kesher, but he unwinds it and he does it all over again. And I'm watching this and I was very, very exceptionally touched by this. And the Satzachon Gechacht, I just was, a shudder went through my body and I started to cry. I was just filled with emotion watching this, watching the care that the Rebbe did for this youngster. And then I'm looking and watching and thinking, I'm extrapolating a kalvachomer. Mad of the Rebbe was a tzaddik. And a tzaddik is the kind of halach of a drop. He's following the ways of Hashem. And look how the Rebbe is mocked with that everything should be. Not that he had it, but it should be lechatchila. So Kol Shekane, Kal V'Chaimer, the Rabbi Nishalom, our Father in heaven, Avinu Shebishamayim, who loves us more than anybody loves us, what no one cares. The Rabbi Nishalom bends down to us, abates up to us every day, every minute, every nanosecond. And the Rabbi Nishalom is watching and controlling our lives in the most perfect, precise, accurate way. And there's nothing about the Ashgach of the Rabbi Nishman that's the Yevet. The Rabbi Nishman doesn't run the world with the Yevet. The world is run with Chachila. If the Rebbe wants to make everything just right, the right way, to be sure that the Rabbi Nishman is running our world, our lives, exactly the Yuk Sha'asa Li Kol Tzarki. The Rabbi Nishman is doing exactly what we need and how we need it in the most perfect, precise way. There's no Yevet. Murdered the Musa Haskell to me. I still haven't forgotten my mind constantly for the last 9-10 days since I saw this incident. last Sunday, not this Sunday, Parshas Pinchas, right? The Parshas Pinchas. And I used to have a Rebbe who just lifted a few months ago, Nissen. His name was Chusman, he didn't mention his name. His name was Rebbechonim Yosef, Rebbe Shmuel Herzman, Alta Mir from Shanghai. And he was Makar of me when I came to Delta Yeshiva 46 years ago. He came to visit, he was Makar of me, I was a youngster, a kid, and I never forgot I had no children, so we're very close. He used to always say, he's writing letters, and right the whole time he said, by the Rabbanu Shalom, there are no second class neshamas. There's only first class neshamas. Everybody's first class. Everybody in this shul tonight, everybody on the street, every group you meet, every nahad, every installata, whatever it is you meet, anybody, whatever they're doing, they are every single person you meet. Everybody is a first class neshama. There are no second class neshamas, no matter what a person's profession might seem to be. There are no second class neshamas. There's maybe a story about the Brisker Rav, the Chetzadik of Rocha. Brisker Rav, he lived near Rehov Strauss in Yerushalayim. Yeah, you know, and there was a bus going to Rehov Strauss, he used to take it often, lived in Rehov Press. And one day the bus stopped, changed, they moved it like 100 meters higher on the street. So he asked his son, Rebbe Foyle, how come they moved the bus stop? So some said, well, not the change in the traffic pattern, things are different now, and they're different. So the head of the Brisker Rav called his son, he said, now my dear son, that Hazoyah is the Ben Taira. Ben Taira is a Tokyo. A Ben Taira has to say like this, Chayat Adam Loinar Bishvili Nibra Ha'olam. The world was created for me. It is a chiyuv. It is an obligation. It is an absolute responsibility, a Lashna Mishnah, that we are obligated to say the world was created for me. And therefore I, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Zev Velvel Soloveitchik, and you, Rapol Soloveitchik, have to say that the reason why the bus stop was changed is because the Rabbi Shlomo wants us to walk another 100 meters. Why? I don't know. Maybe we need exercise, maybe we need something else, maybe it's safer, but the fact is it was done for me. Chayav Adam Loimar B'Shvili Nibra. Every person has to feel that everything that's happened in the world is about me. It sounds very egocentric, but it's really not. It's just the opposite. Egocentric means that it's theocentric. That the Rabbeinu Shalom is running the world for me, so that I should mocker that, so I should recognize that, and realize how much the Rabbeinu Shalom loves me, because I'm the Tzalmoy over the Musoy, and that is the antithesis of egocentricity, that is theocentric, God-centric. That I realize how great the Rabbeinu Shalom is, my path in heaven and earth. He's not just in heaven, he's everywhere. So last Sunday, I left Pressburg and the plane goes back there to show in and out from Vienna. And my mother, Olav Shalom, came from Vienna. And she used to tell me about the beauty of the city. She was there, she was there just 2 years ago in the terrace in 97. And she came from Vienna. And she told me about the city. She said, you know, let me see some of the things she could talk about. And so I wanted to see one of the great palaces of Vienna. So I had this, the Rav of Vienna had to organize a driver to take me to the Schönbrunn Palace. That was the summer palace of the emperors of the Habsburg dynasty. And it was essentially built by the Empress Maria Theresa, who was a real anti-Semite, and she lived in the late 1700s. And the final emperor who lived there was Kaiser Franz Joseph, who occupied the place from 1838 to 1916. He became emperor 18, he was emperor for 68 years. He was after Oya Yisroel. Many interesting things happened in the palace. Good things for Jews. And wanted to see the palace. It's a beautiful place. I wouldn't necessarily want to live there. A very palace, there's no air conditioning, except what? coming to help, what's the bit of the whole palace? Ah, but okay. And very nice palace. Then I sat in the gardens. I got the two of the Tevra. And we sat in the garden. We had to retire. Maria Teresa was turned into the grave. That here these two guys with me block the payas. Real, it looked even more Jewish than I looked. And Maria Teresa, I'm sure, was not enjoying this. And we're saying they retired with beautiful, most gorgeous gardens and flowers and waterfalls and mazes and the zoo over there. Whatever you can imagine that a Kaiser would build and anything an emperor could think of, they can have, you know, gorgeous. And I'm saying, it seems that this was built by Maria Teresa and was improved upon by Kaiser Franz Josef. But as far as I'm concerned, Chayim Adam Boimar Bishalim Nidra Oilam, this entire palace, the Shomrum, the gardens, the waterfalls, everything, the zoo, it's all made for me, for my pleasure. It was made for me. That's okay. Thank you, Rabbi Shom, for making those beautiful palaces for me. Thank you, Mahani, with the shade. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Rabbi Shom. Goodbye. My mother, Olea Shalom, just as she knew the beautiful sights of Vienna, imperial city, so beautiful today, she also, in 1938, when Hitler, Yamashmo, came in and they declared the Anschluss, the joining of Austria and Germany as one country. So in March, suddenly all these civilized Viennese, the Wiener Bürger, suddenly turned into wild beasts like the rest of the Nazis. And one fine day, my mother was grabbed off the street with a Zweigbezirke, and she was thrown into a truck, and they threw her into the main square of the city, and I probably was standing right there in the main square near the Hofburg Palace. And they made the Jews scrub the floors of Vienna. The men get on the hands and feet, get on the ground on the filthy cobblestones, and they made these filthy Jews scrub the filthy cobblestones of Vienna. That was one of my mother's recollections as well, until she escaped Baruch Hashem. But the same thing happened to the Kapitschitzer Rebbe. He also lived in Vienna in 1938. They got these, used him all the time as a target for anti-Semitism. They made pictures of these. But they sent the films back to Germany to show that he's fun of these Jews. He had a beard. He wouldn't let them cut his beard off. He said, cut my fingers before you cut my beard. He was the last beard in Vienna, Yiddish Abort. So as he was scrubbing the cobblestones, his children, the family, weren't made to do this at that point. They were standing on the side, they were crying, and the top of the Kapitschitzer Rebbe was on his hands and feet scrubbing the cobblestones. They were crying, his son told me this. He said, we were crying, and the Tata, the Rebbe, was laughing, and he was happy, he was singing. He said, Tata, why are you singing? Why are you crying? He would have seen Tata on the floor scrubbing the filthy cobblestones of Vienna. That's why I'm laughing. They think I'm scrubbing Vienna. I'm scrubbing Hashem's world. Hashem Aras Malaya, Tevil V'Yoshego. This is not, belongs to the Rabbi Shalom. Far Hashem, I can clean up Hashem's world. It belongs to the Rabbi Shalom. It's a source to clean up Hashem's world. Vishwili and the Vailam, everything is made for me. This floor is made for you also. This is Gavaltic. I can clean up the Rabbi Shalom's world. I'm laughing. They think it's their world. That's the attitude of a true Ayat Hashem, Vishwili and the Vailam. A year that goes around like that is a very happy person. Wherever you go, everything in the world is it's a wonderful attitude. You look at a tree, you look at a bus, you look at a piece of asphalt, you look at a light, you look at your pen, you look at anything. Bishvili, Rabbi Shalom, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. An attitude of gratitude to the Rabbi Shalom. Bishvili Nidroi. Why am I speaking about this tonight? What shaykhah does this have to Lashon Hara? It has everything to do with Lashon Hara. It's this week's parsha. Parsha Tzvara is the headquarters of Lashon Hara. The headquarters of Lashon Hara is this week's parsha. Here the Torah gives us, in Parsha Tzvara, a real, in-depth description of the real reason for the Chaytam Arabim. We are going to today, Rabbeisai, still close to the Chaytam Arabim. The Chaytam Arabim is still here with us. What state? Chaykim Rav Mitzvah. That's what it's all about. We just started Chodesh Av tonight. Says the Torah, the Devarim, Aleph, Pasuk Tov Zayin. Vatei Ragnu Baholeshem. You Jews, when you heard the report of the Meraglim, Vatei Ragnu, you were grouching and complaining bitterly in your tents. Vatomru, and you said, B'sinas Adonai Yisanu, Hoitzionu Me'erich Yisroel. Because Hashem hates us, that's why He took us out of Israel. So Rashi, what the Rabbah means, Lashon Hara, because it says initially, did a nargon. A nargon is a motzi diva, is a slanderer and a gossiper. A nargon is the worst, most vilification and slander. So what the Rabbah means that Klal Yisrael is saying slander about whom? About the Rabbanu Shloim. What do they say? The Sinas Hashem Yisrael. Hashem hates us. So Rashi, who are your oyeves? Hashem loved you. Avatem Sinan Yisrael. You hated Hashem. Marshal Hedron Eifer. There's a marshal. Mother the Divot Al Rachamav. But you're in your heart about somebody else. Mother the Libe Alav. That's what you think is in heart about you. Since you hated Hashem, that's why you thought that Hashem hates you. Incredible. And why does Hashem hate us? Because says Rashi like it. He says, you know, we were in this wonderful country, says Rashi, called Mitzrayim. Now Mitzrayim is a really first class country. Because that's the Nile River, it has water, it's the Nile Delta, it's very fertile. But Eretz Yisrael is not as fertile as the Nile Delta. So Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim from the first class country and takes us to the second class little Middle Eastern no place called Israel, full of sand and hot. It's a miserable place. We don't want to go. Hashem hates us. Unbelievable. The hate of the Meraglim, the reason why Christ was Makabal, what's really amazing is that the Levian did not participate in the Chet Egel, they're claiming. The Levian and the Kahal did not participate in the Chet Egel, but they did participate in the Chet Meraglim. Rashi says it earlier. The Levian of the Mikin Shomela. This is the Kazak of the Moshe Rabbeinu. These are Hashem's closest. Can you imagine? Imagine that someone comes and they start saying Lashon Hara. Some paparazzis come back. Some journalists come back and they say, we have bad news and we're against what the Belzer Rebbe said. We're against the Ger Rebbe. So the Chassidim are ripping the pieces. They'll flip this paparazzi. See these Moroccan come along, 12 nobodies. Not calling the Shul, 10 Chevron, nobodies. Sorry if I'm Misham only anyway. And they say, Lashon Hara about Rabbanu Shalom, Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. The Levi'im should rip into pieces. These are the biggest Chassidim of Rabbanu Shalom. To Mecha Rebbe, which Chassidetta. These are the Chassidim. These are the Anshei Maaseh. This is Lidin Shomela. And yet they do not protest against the Meraglim. They're by silence. They're part of it. Unbelievable. That's how insidious the Chet Meraglim was. And what is it, Lashon Hara? Against, until now, we call Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. That's what sounds like a Parvah Shlach. From Parvah Devarim, we hear it's much deeper. It's Lashon Hara against the Rabbanu Shlom. Hashem hates us. It's unbelievable. It's Lashon Hara. Has it come to Klal Yisrael should think that Hashem hates them? Come on. I'm not that couple. The air. Nisim and the floods have been trying. My goodness gracious. What more could the Rabbanu Shlom do for them? How could they hate the Rabbanu Shlom? How could they think Hashem hates them? It's very, 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 very hard to understand. But it seems that it's either love or hate. Unless a person goes around with a constant sense of true gratitude to Rabbanu Shlom, they should be in the thank you, Rabbanu Shlom, for every single morsel of man. Thank you for every drop of the bear. Thank you for every patch of Anami Akavit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Either it's all gratitude, or it's indifference, which ultimately turns to worse than indifference. Hashem ignores us. From indifference, it comes to the Hashem ignores, Hashem doesn't care, Hashem doesn't want, and Hashem actually hates me. It's incredible. The human mind is so amazing, but it's also so convoluted and so warped and so easily perverted that Klai Yisrael to believe that Hashem hates them, and they say Lashon Hara, and that is the Chet HaMeraglim, and that is Tisha B'Av, and that's what we hear for tonight. And therefore, the Iker is that we can go around Yoimam Bolayla B'Shvili Nivra HaOlam. That's of course, we go drop deeper and I won't elaborate. That's the original sin of the Nafash. The Nafash of Ben Money, it's all Rashi. Nothing esoteric. Nafash of Ben Money says, Bavim B'Chava, as we also before, Nafash of Ben Money says, Bavim B'Chava, that, Hashem hates you. Hashem's afraid of you. Hashem is jealous of you and your competition, and therefore doesn't want you to eat Tzneis Hadas. Because if you eat Tzneis Hadas, then you will be just as good as God, and you'll be Boyer Elamos, and God doesn't like competition, He can't handle competition as God, and therefore eat it, because God doesn't like you. And you gotta show God a thing or two, that you have your brains of your own, and you're doing it wrong. The first chait was Lashon Hara. And Lashon Hara against whom? The Rebbeinu Shlomo. And Adam B'chavo, everything in the world, every brach and the guns of Delt, everything was theirs. They believed it and accepted the Lashon Hara, that Hashem hates them and is afraid of them and is weary of them, and Hashem wants to be part of them. Tonight, Rosh Chodesh Av, the Yartzat. Only Yartzat written in the Torah. Yartzat of Aaron HaKohen. Only Yartzat. Oyev Shalom, Oyev Shalom. We also have to see another Yartzat. Yartzat of a Rebbe who Zayt to be very close with. The head of Yerushalayim, Baba Verd, above the Rebbe, the Susa of Elaine, who was nifter 9 years ago. 2000 and Kavshin Sama. And the Rebbe was, the Bava Rebbe was something else, a different daughter, a different world. Azat Toiv Ayin, such a good eye, such a beautiful person, such an Ayin Yisrael. It just, they don't make them like that. What can I tell you about the regalia, the whole night, the stories of the Bava Rebbe? But let me just tell you one or two stories just to bring our matters here tonight. I was in Tel Yeshiva, came a little earlier than Rabbi Lev came. When Rabbi Lev, they shipped him into Tel Yeshiva boot camp, so they sent him to my room 102, because that was where we took all the new recruits and gave them the basic training. But I was there about 2 years before him, and I came in 1962 or so, and right after I came, unfortunately, there was a very big fire in Tel, and the whole room burned down. And there were hundreds of Bachar homeless with huge yeshivas in those days. And it was a big problem. So all the Rosh Yeshivas went out collecting money to rebuild the dormitory and the yeshiva building. It was rough times. And my Rebbe, Rav Chaim Werfel Katz, at the top of the bracha, old man there is almost 7 years old, went to New York collecting. They went back to the Bach of the Rav Shlaima. And oh, listen, though, we. The Bava Rebbe always gave donation to Tel Yeshiva. The Bava Rebbe bought from the company Yeshiva. He said, you know, we need some extra money. We need some more. She had to build a building. So maybe the Rebbe is a fine. Perhaps the Rebbe is a fine. Give us a special donation. We'll cover the new building. So the Rebbe says, sure, Avada, it'll be my pleasure, but you're coming here in the middle of the winter. We start getting our money and the income starts rolling in around Purim and Pesach time. So the Rosh Hashiva be so kind. Please, Rosh Hashiva Ben Bachman tells us who live in Car Park. Perhaps some of you heard that place. It's a place in America by the Jews. And there's Stephanie Bachman in Car Park. So please, Rosh Hashiva should send in the Bachman. Don't come yourself, of course, or don't even call me. Send the Bachman during Ben Hasmana. And we'll come pick up the money. So sure enough, Rosh Yeshiva sent him off. Very fucking whatever. What do you want? Well, he says, I'm from Dallas. And he says, in Yiddish, he says, it's from the Kuchen, Einzelmann, the Choyf, Plus, the Rosh Hashiva has to tell the Yeshiva. Here, the collective choyv that the Yeshiva has to tell us. So that the sweetest, beautiful way reaches out to the boy, holds his hand, says, "Main mankin, does a mishkin chov, does a schis." It's not a choyv. This is a privilege. This is a schus. So the Rebbe, every mitzvah is a schus. A choyv is a schus. A choyv. But let me tell you what it is. That this story I must tell you. What it means that Baba is so from love and he is to appreciate you. Here we get the true story. I heard it from a number of sources. I checked it out. I even heard a little page extra. I checked it out a few times. In the early years, when the Rebbe came to America in 1946, 47, had nothing, not even his beard, every shade of during the war, was his wife, was his children, except for his oldest, not two children, was his father, was his siblings, was his kilo, was everything. Comes to America with nothing, started to rebuild, with no money. So, in those days, late 40s, there was some kind of boom in Chile, in South America. So the Rebbe, the Kvod of Asim, goes, takes a slow boat to Chile, to the Panama Canal, and goes to collect money to build a Baba Yeshiva. Comes to Chile, he's there for quite a few weeks, collecting money. Very difficult, hard work, goes around collecting, like a real collector. And the last Shabbos, they make a big Kiddush, and say goodbye to the Rebbe, the youngest second Shabbos, they make a goodbye Kiddush. Sunday, the Rebbe's getting ready to leave. Yid who had met there comes to say goodbye. The Rebbe says, "Where were you yesterday? See by the Kiddush, I couldn't come." "Well, where, why weren't you? You weren't seeing shul either. Where were you yesterday? It's only one big shul. I couldn't come." "What happened? Where were you?" "I'll tell you the truth. I had to go into my factory." "Your factory?" "Yep, I have to work in my factory. I'm Shabbos with you." "No, it's no, Rebbe. My factory would not. It's not shy without being open 7 days a week. And I must set up the machinery every single morning, or else the machine doesn't work and it doesn't go. There's no etza. You know, I gotta go on Shabbos, you go on Shabbos, you gotta set it up. There's no etza whatsoever." I'll tell you the truth, Rebbe. Things are getting, the world is getting computerized. In those days, ancient times, things are starting. There is a special machine that was just invented, and there is a machine that could set up my machine by itself. I set up for Shabbos. "Really? So why don't you get the machine?" "Fortune of money. How much is it?" "It's under 12 grand. Way, it's astronomical." "How much?" "It's $50,000. $50,000. You know, I just happen to have $50,000. "Where do you have a $50,000? In my pocket, I have $50,000. "Rebbe, that's the money you just collected. You're working here for weeks and weeks and weeks for the Baba Yeshiva." "I know, you can't do that." "That's such a yeshiva." "What do you mean I can't do that?" "I didn't collect money for the Baba Yeshiva. I collected money for the Kvayim Shom, for Kvayim Shomayim. It happens to be that I happen to be the Baba Yeshiva. So if there's nothing else to collect for, I collect for my yeshiva. But if I see that there's a shayla of a yid keeping Shabbos or not, you know what a chil Hashem it is, that a yid should bechal Shabbos, a yid by yid should bechal Shabbos? It's much more important that the money should go for you. There's more Kvayim Shomayim, more Nachas Ruach, the yid should keep Shabbos, and I should just collect for the Baba Yeshiva. Here's all the money." Murder the Gemara. That's a story I heard years ago. I checked it out. About a year and a half ago, I was telling it over. I was at Bar Mitzvah, Baba Bar Mitzvah, I was telling it over to the Chevre. They said, "Yeah, we know the story. But there's a little something about it if you don't know." I don't know. Footnote is the Rebbe did, there was a little knay, there was a tnai. There's nothing, no freebies. The Rebbe wanted something in return. What did he want in return? He said to this man, he says, "One thing I want from you, I want your son. You have a son, he's a teenager, I want you to send him to America to the Baba Yeshiva. I will take him home, I will treat him like my own son, you must send him to the Baba Yeshiva. That's what I want." So he didn't send the son. Something came there after Yid. I don't think it was that they weren't children necessarily then. And to this day, he has children, grandchildren. I can't see this for sure. This is what the Baba Rav is all about. Where do you find people like the Baba Rav? How do you cut the Baba Rav like this? It comes from a toy vine. Toy vine about another Yid. This Zayda. His Zayda was the first Baba Rav, also called the Shlaima. And his Zayda, the story goes like this. The story is that Zeger of Shlaima went to Yeshiva with another father. And both of them were big Yaksan, both of them were big Lamdan, both of them were tremendous, they were good, they were geshit with everything. They had all the altar shrines. They could sing, and they could dance, and they could say Torah, and they could speak, and they could daven, and they could learn, they could give a shir, they could lead, and they were Bali Itza. Anything you want, these two brothers are trying to describe your life. I come to meet Yeshiva, Shlomo gets married, that's just on the above the roof, and his friend becomes a rabbi in a city, and nothing major, and essentially he's in this city, he's not too well known, he's not too successful. And what's even more booming for this friend is that the few chasher balabatim that he has in his town, in Poland, in Galicia, when it comes Yom-tiv, they all leave town, they all go to Babuk. They leave him behind and they're in Babuk. And he's left with the, shall we say, the hamoina, and the chasher, the chasher, who leaves that. It goes on for many, 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 many years. One day, the Shlaima Babuk is claiming that my father came to Galicia, remember the Babuk in Galicia, my father, Baba Shalom. And Shlaima the First is making his progress through Galicia by train, and the minute was that at every train station they would come out to greet him with the whole banners and hundreds of people gathered because above the roof. So as he's getting off the train to be greeted by this beautiful crowd that's waiting for him at every station, at one particular station, the Rebbe, at the corner of his eye, he notices, all great people have peripheral vision, they see from all sides, so he sees out of the corner of his eye that five cars down, there's somebody exiting the car, and he notices out of the corner of his eye that his old friend who he hasn't seen in 20 years. So he tells the oil who's waiting for him, says, Rabbi, please, just one second, please, Mechila. And he runs down the platform, and he goes to his friend, and he embraces him, hugs him, how are you, how are you doing, what's evolving? I'm so good to see you, it's been so many years now, it's Mardik, how are you? So his friend says, Baruch Hashem, okay, but you know, if you're playing money, tell you something. I gotta get off my chest. No, 20 years now. And I'm a rogue in this town, this city. Okay, what am I accomplishing? Nobody knows me, no one cares about me. And even the few chashim of Balabatim I have, they run to you for Yom Tov. And I must confess that for 20 years, I'm asking myself, why do you have so much success? Why? You know, Reb Shlaima, that I can learn just as good as you. And you know, Reb Shlaima, that I can daven just as good as you. And you know, I can say Torah as good as you. I've been tamed as good as you, and I've been kibetzes like you, and I'm a bigger yatsim like you. Any mind that you have, I have. So why do you have so much success, love? Why do you have so much success? So Reb Shlaima looks at him and says, "Oh, my dear beloved friend, tell you the honest truth. Don't think that I forgot about you over there for 20 years. And for 20 years lately, for 20 years, believe me, I've been thinking to myself, why doesn't my dear friend have more love? Why don't you have more love? You know what? You can't get with me, you can learn as good. You learn better than me. You're a better singer than me. You're a better ballerina than me. You're a finer person than me. You're a better exotic than me. You're mother Kabbalah, you're amazing. And I've been asking myself for 20 years, why doesn't my friend have more love? But now I know the answer. That's the answer. You've been thinking 20 years, why do I have a love? And I've been thinking 20 years, why doesn't my friend have more love? There's a Toy Vine, the Toyma, this is their tradition. Look for the best in Yidden. They're great, they're good, they're devoted. This is attitude you have to have towards you. And the Bishud of the Rebbe is not just for me. The world is meant for him as well. The Bishud of the Rebbe, as you said, can become very egocentric. It's a dangerous thing, Bishud of the Rebbe, because it's just me and nobody else. Chas v'shalom. It can't be exclusive. The person who truly understands what it means, chayav other mind of the Bishud of the Rebbe, everybody's different. The Delta is for every single person here. I don't know your names. I've never seen you before in my life. Everyone looks different, dressed different. I don't know who you are. You're young, you're old. There's all types of people here in the audience. Very nice, wonderful looking people. And it is my obligation to say that the world is created for you. And the works great for you and for you, which one of you I do know, and you too, I know. And my friend Eric over there went up. The God is great for everybody in this room. The Shalita God is everybody. And if I just didn't think about myself, I have to think about you. Why don't you have more brother? Why don't you have more brother? And the real way to uproot. You know what sinna means? Sinna really means this, exactly what sinna means. Sinna means, why don't I have as much as love as somebody else? Why is he able to have love and not me? I deserve a lot more. I am jealous. It's about me. That's what sinna sinna is. That's not sinna. It means to say that, oh, okay, what about you? I should have. Me. It's about me. Why you? Me. And Ayin Toiva. Toiv Ayin is, we are all children of the Divine Shalom, and that's exactly the challenge, and everybody deserves everything. And the secret of Yisrael, so this is the secret I'm going to share with you tonight. The Yisrael of Lashon Hara comes, that we, everybody, the reason we speak Lashon Hara about other people is because essentially we look at everybody else as competition. If I can pull somebody else down, I don't look so bad myself. Because I think lowly of myself, I look at you as being competition. You look better than me. So if I can say that juicy shtick of Lashon Hara to pull you down to my level or lower, I don't look so bad. Lashon Hara essentially is a product of a sense that I am unworthy. I am not Tasha. Hashem doesn't love me. I am second class. So if I'm second class, why are you first class? So I'm going to tell the other one, shtick of Lashon Hara about you, that you're going to be third class and fourth class. But I am just second class. If I would believe I'm first class, and there's no second class neshamas, so everybody's first class. Your Bajan is first class. If I believe that I'm really, really a son of the Bajan, I can start believing that you're also a son of the Bajan. We're all first class. No problem. I only went first class once in my life on a plane. If I go first class, I forget that I'm still first class. That's fine. If I'm going coach, then I get jealous of those guys in business and the guys in first class. Why am I stuck in coach and perfection coach? If I go first class, I'm enjoying first class. I have no problem. You can all go first class as long as I'm going first class too. If I believe that the Shalini Royal, that I am first class, then I forget everybody else first class. And so the real answer, whenever we get a resentment against somebody, which we do, whenever we have a kinnah, you know, in the Sfarad, at the end of the time in Sorah, a bunch of every day, a bunch of take kinnah out of my heart, no one should be kind to me, I should be kind to somebody else, take a little bit of Banova. It's very beautiful, the supplication of the kind of Sorah, this is Sfarad. How do you uproot it? It's not every single day we look at the people, they're going first class, now second and third class, they have a beautiful car, not a Trump, they don't have a car whatsoever, I don't have a problem with that person, they look like they're first class, I'm third class, look what's happening to me, what do you mean Hashem loves me? This is for Bishuddin Ra'ilam, this is Bishuddin Ra'ilam. So the only hates of the middle is Kapdom and jealousy against somebody, or resentment against somebody, or we take umbrage against somebody, we're insulted by somebody, we're slighted by somebody, and it wells up within my heart some anger and some sinna and some kinna and some nasty feelings, and I really feel nasty, and you know, I really wouldn't mind, I have all kinds of terrible thoughts. The only thing is I have to do something very simple. That's really very simple. I send that person a brother. At first it sounds contrived, it sounds like it's not too real, but it works. That person, so the Zion get benched. Their body should send them bracha, vatzlacha, the kol bookseller. And I think that, again, my will is first, and the minute any resentment wells up my heart, or any jealousy, any negative feeling against somebody else, I say, Rabbanu Shalom, brachas. A brach on his head, a brach on his children, a brach on everything, as a lasagna bench. And it works. I'm telling you, Rabbi said, if a person starts training himself, that the minute nasty thoughts come into his heart, he wishes all the best on others, like he wishes on himself, slowly but surely, we learn to retrain and reprogram the mind. The mind is very badly programmed. We are programmed from our earliest youth, the Yetzer Hara programmed us that very negative, nasty thought, very bad thoughts, corrupt thoughts. And we have to reprogram ourselves, and it's not that hard. It's really not that hard. If you just make up your mind you want to be with this program, in a few days it can change. It can really change in a very short period of time. Positive thinking again for other people, not just for ourselves. Power positive thinking, that's it. No, and the more you think positive about others, great things, you attract great things into your own life, and the entire world starts to work for you as well. It's a mitzvah. And I'll conclude, Rabbi said, with a good quote from the Kedusha's lady, and also a great story from the Bava Rava, and that's it. So I'm waiting to hear Rabbi left, so I can't wait to hear Rabbi left, so I'm not going to speak. But, so it's 45 minutes, so just about at the cusp of 45 minutes. Okay, so that's two, few more minutes. So, the Kedusha's lady says, Parshas Chukas, Chet Mein Ariva. So Rashi says that the chait was that Moshe hit instead of talking. Rambam says because Moshe gets angry. Rambam says Moshe gets angry. Shimon Bar Moira gets angry. Kass. Says that in the Kedushas lady, it's really one of the same. The reason why Moshe had to hit the rock is because Moshe gets angry and calls him names. Calls him names. So the Kedushas lady, because there's two ways to look at Jews and two ways to give Muslim. Two ways for Rabbanim to give Muslim. One way is they put people down, just call names. You know, you're lazy, you're oisvers, you have no derecheres, you have no akars of pipe, you're no good, you have no shemai. There's another way. The best way to get Musa is to tell you how great they are. You know, you are so amazing. Your Baneshom would love to hear from you. Your neshamas come from the Kisak cover. Your neshamas are higher than any stars, any galaxies. There's 100 billion galaxies out there with 100 billion stars, and the neshama of any yid is greater than any, all these galaxies and all these stars that come from a higher place. And all the malachi asharis are waiting here, our tefillahs every morning bring us here, kaddish, kaddish, kaddish. And we do a mitzvah, all the ayunas light up from us. And we are besak in the guns of Delta, and the whole green was made for us. And the bunch made the whole world just for us, b'shirin nevroilam. And we can tell you that b'shirin nevroilam. And he really believes that, you know what happens? Listen to this. The world reacts. There's a reaction. The Shruti Nivrod is not just a statement. It forms a chain reaction. The world reacts when I believe that the world created for me. I really believe that. Then the world does everything for me. Everything in the world, they're out for me. All the traffic lights turn green for me. And everything works out for me. And I make the plane and I'm coming a little bit late. And then suddenly Panosa starts flowing in, and everything happens on time, and everything is beautiful, and she's looking back to my family. Everything works out. Because if I believe that the world is created for me, the world, the entire Bria starts working for me. That's how I believe it, and that's how it becomes. So, if the Rav, if the Moshiach tells everybody how great we are and how wonderful the world means for them, the world will automatically, voluntarily, give out all the brachas and atzlachas from every single year. Because they live that way, and act that way, and believe that way. But, if the Mochiach puts him down, says, you know, good, here, this is not what Hashem had in mind, this is a negative thing. He said, what kind of negative things? So what happens? So, I'm telling everybody the failures, that this is not what the world's created for. That you're the antithesis of what the world is all about. So what happens? They shut down, and the whole world shuts down, and the world doesn't want to give its bracha to these people because they don't believe that the world, that they're bali bracha. They don't think the bali has a hefset, that they're failures, the bali nilshul, that they're failures, and they're no good. So therefore, says the Hele Kedush lady, that's the shot. Since Moshe Rabbeinu, unfortunately, here was cast. And Tash here called them Hamoyim, a very negative name. And then he put them down. Since he put them down, therefore, the rock said, why should I give the water? So much I need the rock. How much he said, Tash, you're great, the world was made for you, and you would have believed it. Then the rock would have said, oh, this is what I'm praying for. There's water inside me. I'm here to voluntarily, without being coerced and being hit, give the water to Klaiso. But since he put Klaiso down, and they didn't believe they're worthy of having rocks serve them, or anything in the world serve them, because they're worthless, the second class and third class. Yeah, but the world didn't serve them, and the only way to get the water by hitting the rock. This is how we can have success in life. We need to look at every body, not just ourselves, as being first class. The whole world would be here to serve us. People would be glad. They'll line up and line to serve us. If some people really think everybody's rotten, they think the world is no good, you can't trust anybody, people can't be trusted, people are selfish, people are lousy, people are betrayed, you can't trust them, they're not loyal, they're treacherous, they're negative. That's what you think, that's what you're going to get. You believe in people, because you believe in the Rabbi Shalom. To believe in the Rabbi Shalom is to believe in the Tzemel of Kibbutz he made with your people. If you really believe in God, you have to believe in those in his image. It goes hand in hand. You can't say, I believe in the Rabbi Shalom, I don't believe in people. If you don't believe in people, then you don't believe in the Rabbi Shalom. That goes hand in hand. And that's where Lashon Hara comes from. I don't believe in God, and that's why I don't believe in people. That's what the problem created in Klal Yisrael. They didn't believe in the Rabbi Shalom. They had this warped idea that Hashem hates them. And if Hashem hates them, the whole world hates them. And they don't go into Eretz Yisrael. It's unbelievable. But if you believe that Hashem loves you, and believe that Bishvilim is royal and not first class, and the world is first class, there would not be Lashon Hara. This is what we learned from Anthony Kachar. So keep that in mind, guys. I think that these are, I know that these words have encouraged others, and hopefully they will also be encouragement for all of us to live a first class life. And let me conclude this last story from the Bava Rav, and we'll get to hear up left. We're all waiting to hear. And the story goes like this. Also, a true story. All the stories tell are really true. You can check that out. Seems that once the Bava Rav, who lived on 48th Street and 15th Avenue, had to paint this house. So he comes one fine day, in the early morning, comes in the painter. Johnny the painter. God comes in with his dirty overalls, speckled over his face. Johnny comes in while the Bava Rav eating breakfast. Bava Rav gets up for him. Hello, Johnny, Shalom Aleichem. Johnny, tell me. Eat breakfast yet? You know that you're working hot. They got to eat breakfast. I said, well, Rabbi, then I ran over here because I know you're a big grand rabbi. I just want to be late, so we need breakfast. No, John, we got to breakfast. Sit down. No, John, sit down. And the Bava Rav makes a dish just for John. You know, just makes some breakfast, makes some food, some John. During breakfast, the Bava Rav tells John, I said, listen, John, let me tell you something. You know, probably, you know, let me tell you something, John. We Jewish peoples, we had a long time ago in Jerusalem a temple. And the temple we had in Jerusalem, it was perfect. Perfect temple. But unfortunately, 2,000 years ago, our temple was burnt down and destroyed. So, John, I want you to know that since our perfect temple is destroyed, nothing in the veil is perfect anymore. Nothing. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. You know about Johnny, you don't have to do a perfect thing, John. So I don't want to be nervous to do a perfect thing, John. Nothing is perfect. Johnny, I'm glad this is a perfect thing, John. He finishes doing a rough job. And now, a few weeks later, he's working for another rabbi in Bar Park, a grand rabbi. And this grand rabbi is supercilious. Grand rabbi sits down Johnny before he starts working. Johnny, let me tell you something, John. Listen. I'm a grand rabbi. And well, everything is perfect. So, John, I want to make sure you work very hard that you make every effort to do a perfect paint job. John goes to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, I'll tell you something, Rabbi. A few weeks ago, I done a paint job for the grand rabbi, and he told me that you Jews had a temple in Jerusalem, and 2,000 years ago, the temple was destroyed. It was a perfect temple. But it was a story. And since then, ain't nothing perfect anymore, Rabbi. And you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. And I'm unfortunately, that's the excuse. When there was a day Samikdash, the day Sakhira, the Kaka perfect. All your bonds should go with our children. All went to us, children, that today we have been exiled. From the perfect place of Mikdash, from the table of our father, never. But after the course, this is the the mixed emotions we have to have. The Rebbeinu is not the person. And the Delta is really perfect. But unfortunately, we are not living up to the beautiful standards of the beautiful world Hashem made for us. So if we realize that we're not so perfect, maybe we wouldn't judge other people with such a jaundiced eye. Oh, they're not perfect, they didn't do this right, they didn't daven so nicely, this bar Torah wasn't so great, had that rabbi speak tonight, it wasn't so great, nah, it wasn't so good. If we think we're perfect, then everybody else would be perfect. We realize that that's part of the program, is that nothing is perfect. We wouldn't, how to finish that we would be perfect ourselves, we wouldn't hold other people to such a perfect high standard. We'd be a little more tolerant, a little more loving, a little more forgiving, with a softer, more tender, more realistic, more reasonable attitude, we would bring a lot more Abbas Yisrael in the world, a lot of Abbas Hashem in the world. And the source of all of you coming tonight to make an effort to indeed replace cynicism with Abbas Tanim, and to replace Churban with Binyan by rebuilding ourselves and rebuilding our Midos. That is the stepping stone to rebuilding the base of Mikdash. The source of our being here tonight is the result of the fact that we are the Binyan of Mikdash. Amen.